Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Christians begin a new liturgical year with the season of Advent, a time of preparation to celebrate the mystery of the Incarnation.
Some people propose that to protect religious freedom, we must ban speech that is critical or offensive about religion. We do not agree.
You gave the opening prayer for the newly elected lesbian mayor of Houston. Did you get any flack for that?
Sure we do. But again, it shows that the heart of who we are is to uplift people and to love everybody.
All you need is love.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Well, religious views and opinions certainly play a big part in the abortion debate. There's no doubt about that, at least on one side. If you look at the press reports, whatever they may be, on the abortion debate, it is almost always noted that those who are against abortion, who want to defend the unborn, have religious motivations. But you don't often read about any, if any, religious motivations on the other side of the abortion debate. I wonder why that is. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, December the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin with our weekly visit from our friends at GetReligion.org talking about media coverage of religion. Today, we'll talk with Sarah Pulliam Bailey about two stories, the media coverage of 2,000 fetus corpses found at a Buddhist temple in Thailand, all from abortion, and a gay abortion doctor in Canada who had some second thoughts of wanted to adopt and then went back to doing abortions. Then we'll talk with Dr. Bill Weinrich of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about 8th century theologian and hymn writer John of Damascus. We'll wrap it up playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week with you. Our first guest, Sarah Pulliam Bailey, is a contributor to GetReligion.org and online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What is your bottom line concern about the way that the story was covered about this abortion doctor, gay abortion doctor, who wants to adopt in the Toronto Star?
Sure. This story was actually very interesting when somebody sent it to me. I thought it was a joke, you know, gay abortion doctor who wants to adopt. It just seems like an explosion ready to happen. But as I was reading the story, it was very interesting, very long story about abortion providers and kind of the ethical dilemmas that they face. And, you know, as Get Religion always looks in these stories, we look for a little bit of religion. Sometimes the person may not be religious, and maybe that is contributing to the decision to be an abortion provider, or maybe they are and they don't see a contradiction between their faith and providing abortions. So, but we didn't see anything in this story, anything whatsoever about whether these doctors, there were several doctors, but there was one main doctor portrayed in the story, and there was nothing about his faith background, is kind of where those ethics are coming from, if that makes sense.
So while it was portrayed as a deeply ethical struggle for this guy, the reporter didn't appear interested in anything farther than just the fact that they thought it might be wrong or they thought it might be a problem.
Exactly. I thought it was really interesting in the piece when, you know, it acknowledges that this man named James, quote, began to see shades of gray instead of black and white after doing some abortions. I thought that was very interesting, just how he was struggling between the idea of providing abortions and then when he wanted to adopt, all of a sudden it seemed like that triggered this dilemma. But there was no kind of question about whether, you know, his faith was guiding him in this dilemma or whether others in the faith community had anything to do with it. There were some parts of the story that indicated, you know, he was nervous about violence. Perhaps another abortion doctor had experienced violence in the area where he lives, so he was reluctant to kind of give his full name and everything. But there was nothing about whether God is part of his decision or isn't. There was just very little disclosure in that area of the story. And the story is very long, and so if it were 500, 600 words, I would kind of say, okay, well, it was a short story or whatever, but this was a very long, in-depth story about these dilemmas that these abortion doctors have to face, and faith had no role to play in that.
How do you explain this, I can only call it a lack of balance, where regularly in press reports, the religious views and opinions of the opponents of abortion are featured. They're seldom omitted. They are almost always mentioned. And yet on the other side, those who are proponents of abortion, or perhaps in this case, even those who perform abortions, there seems to be really no consideration of any religious motivation one way or the other.
Todd, I think that's a great point. I think that's something that is sort of a sin of omission, if you will, from reporters when they look at, you know, for a lot of people, if they oppose abortion, for a lot of them, it is because of their faith. For some people on the pro-choice side, if they're okay with it, they don't see a contradiction with their faith, if that makes sense. So it's not like their faith is motivating them to be pro-choice. But at the same time, sometimes their faith will either provide this ethical dilemma, or if they don't have any faith, sometimes they will say, well, there is no contradiction or there is no ethical dilemma here. And so I do think that you're pointing out a very good kind of omission from the media when they look at these abortion stories. There's a lot of faith when it's about the pro-life side, not as much when it's about the pro-choice side. So, yeah, that's a great point.
Is it a stereotype, if you will, that has just found its way into the boilerplate of reporting on the abortion issue? Obviously, the opponents are religious zealots, and obviously the people on the side of choice are rational and reasonable people who don't allow kooky ideas to enter into their deliberations.
Right. For a lot of people who, on the pro-life side, to be part of this activism, opposing abortion is very active and something tends to motivate them, and that tends to be faith. On the pro-choice side, I think because Roe versus Wade is the current legal, you know, allows for the current legal status in America, I think that allows the pro-choice side to be a little more passive, if you will, or it's not like they necessarily have to have something motivating them to be pro-choice. I don't know if I'm making sense. It's kind of like the status quo, and so there's a little less, I think, eagerness on the reporter's side to look for something that's motivating someone to be pro-choice. Even if it's there, I think it's harder. There's a little less of a, what is motivating them to do this? And I think that's where religion often comes into play.
Another subject that you've written about recently at GetReligion.org, Sarah, has to do with a story where religion could hardly be ignored, and yet you say the story, at least in its first couple iterations, did a pretty good job of doing that. The story about these 2,000 dead fetuses found at a temple morgue in Thailand.
Right. This happened right before Thanksgiving, so I think it may have been overlooked in all the buzz around Thanksgiving, but there was this startling story from Thailand, you know, where these 2,000 dead fetuses were found at a Buddhist temple, and apparently they, you know, initial reports said that the monks there had no clue that it was happening. It seemed like it was sort of a side deal with people who were handling the morgue part of the temple. So in one sense, you know, religion, not like religion, religious leaders had a role to play, but being at a temple, it sort of allowed those two stories to clash. And then this woman, actually a woman who aborted these babies and then brought them to the morgue, there's this very interesting story where some of the failed abortions, she ended up adopting those children. I believe it was 8 children she ended up adopting. And there was so much more to be gleaned, I think, in that story, because she talked about when she was doing the abortions, she referred to it as a sin. And, you know, this is in a Buddhist country. And there wasn't any mention of what her faith was. And I had some commenters suggest that there isn't really a concept of sin in Buddhist culture. I mean, the story didn't say what her faith was. But I thought that was very interesting, just like the whole, her adopting the kids who had, were not aborted, the abortion didn't go through, and then that she would consider her practice a sin. I thought that was so interesting, and I wish the stories had kind of dealt with that further, if that makes sense.
Well, that was the New York Times has continued to follow the story or follow up on the story. Has the reporting gotten better with regard to the religious aspect of this?
I saw two initial reports. The first one seemed to draw more on local news reports that I guess someone in the country had read about this and strung for the New York Times and said, hey, this would be a good story for you. It didn't seem like that reporter actually did the reporting, if you will. It didn't seem like this reporter from the New York Times actually interviewed this woman. I think he was drawing on reports from Thailand. So that has its pros and cons. Like, he may not have the kind of access to this woman that the local publications there do, and so we might have to rely on this. At the same time, I found in the earlier story, he omitted part of her quote where she described her aborting babies as a sin, and I was confused why part of that quote was taken out. But then in the follow-up story, he did provide more of the full context of that quote. So, you know, it was an okay kind of roundup, if you will, given the circumstances. I don't know if he had, like I said, access to this location. The Times prides itself on filing stories from a country, but it's kind of pointless if I can read it from my home in the U.S. But I was actually glad that the Times decided to include it in part of its coverage.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org. She's online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, when we come back, we're going to spend some time remembering someone the church will be remembering tomorrow on the 4th of December, 8th century theologian and hymn writer John of Damascus. A tremendous career here to review, but also a lot of history to understand. Dr. Bill Weinrich will join us, professor of early church history and patristic studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Then remember, later in the hour, Soundbite of the Week. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the Lady Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click Support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology Today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. Worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.